Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today is Dimitri Lee-Allen.
Hey,
Dimitri. Dimitri's on the show. You know what that means.
New bits.
New bits.
There
Woo-hoo!
You go.
It's Woo. New bits day. And the bits that we are talking about today, Visual Studio 2013 release candidate.
Yep, we're very excited. I mean, this has been a long time coming, and with Release Candidate, we have a lot of cool demos, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, so we're getting closer.
Yes,
closer. We are getting closer. The next show we do to talk about Visual Studio 2013 will be the big party.
I hope so.
But we're not quite there. We are on Release Candidate.
Yes.
So, we're going to do some demos, show you some of the new features, go download it. You can download it now and then come back and watch this. You can watch this now and download it. Your call.
Yeah, and there's a lot in there. So what I would say is we're going to cover some cool features. We're not going to cover everything. It's just impossible.
Okay.
Robert and I.
We're not going to cover everything?
People, right? Not everything.
Well, that'll make the show shorter.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
Instead of 5 hours, we'll try to get into 45 minutes or so.
Okay. So if you recall, back, I believe it was the last time you were here, when we did Visual Studio 2013 preview, mm-hmm. we showed some very cool features in XAML, the XAML editor. We showed some IntelliSense, we showed some Go to Definition, we showed a lot of cool things in Windows Store apps.
Yeah, made Windows Store app 0.1 development even better.
Well, now in the release candidate, that has been extended to XAML Everywhere.
Yes.
So I have a WPF application open right now, Windows Presentation Foundation, and let's look at some of these cool new features in there. So the first thing we want to look at is IntelliSense. Okay, so what I'd really like to be able to do when I come in here and do some binding is type path equal and then get a list of things that are available to me, right? So if we let the editor know where the data is, so I'm just going to magically type this here and let it know, let the data grid know what the context is, so resolve this here, then look what I can do. I can say, for the item source of this grid, path equals, and then I get IntelliSense. And remember, this is WPF. Okay, do you remember what it was?
No.
It was all employees.
That's why we have source control. We can undo check-in if anything.
Okay, so we get IntelliSense for data binding. What we also have is go to definition. So let's scroll up here. The headered content control, the style is based on the sub-display area. I wonder what that is. I can right-click on it or press F12, go to definition, and it takes me to the definition of that. So I'm looking at this headered content control. I wonder what that is. I press F12. Well, that's actually a built-in control. So this pops up the object browser, and I can see everything I need to know about that. This also works with things like user controls. So for example, in here, I've got this employee workspace view. I press F12 on that. Come down and see that there were two matches found. So I can either go to the XAML or the code behind. Let's go to the XAML. And here is
the XAML.
The XAML.
The
there it
control.
Is. Employee workspace
in the
view.
User control. There you go.
In the user control. Or I can go to the code behind.
Yeah, and this is awesome. People at Build, when you know Uni and Tim Heuer did a lot of good sessions on it, so if folks want to see a much richer demo of this, they can even take a look at the Build conference.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, almost everything there, if not everything, I just don't recall, applies to all XAML developers, which means WPF, Silverlight, and Windows Phone is covered.
Yes.
The team actually made a really good blog post. We'll put it into the show notes, and the blog post goes through everything that's included.
That would be this,
the
that I'm using as my notes.
There you go.
My cheat sheet.
There you go. So
exactly.
That cheat sheet will give people a heads up on what's coming and what has arrived now with Release Candidate.
Yes.
So this is awesome. We're saying that XAML Everywhere will have great capabilities now.
But wait, there's more. So we also have IntelliSense for resources. So there's headered content control, style equals static resource. I do it correctly.
Too many keystrokes.
Hmm?
You're outside of your bracket there.
What happened?
Can't leave that bracket.
There we go.
There
it is. IntelliSense for resources. So I now know, again, scope to what's available to me, what I can do. Right. So
I'm a XAML developer, and when I
yep.
every time I play with this, I'm just so happy. This is the kind of sauce that was missing to make XAML.
So I could do grid
like the rest of the code editor, right? Experience.
All right. So grid background equal. We have it here as well. Right. Here are all the colors. So less typing, more selecting. That is always good. Now here's something that's been sorely missing. It's the ability to do code snippets. So if I right click on here and insert snippet, if I actually had any snippets, which I don't, I only have the one that's built in, but you could write your own code snippets for XAML, and then you could use those inside your XAML. So if you, you know, have your standard buttons or standard grid or whatever it is, you can now create and do your own code snippets. We have IntelliSense matching, something we call IntelliSense matching. So we already know that, you know, if I start typing stack panel, then stack panel shows up here. But, you know, what if I'm not that great a speller? What if I type, ones work, S-T-A-K-P, that, there we go, that takes me to stack panel. So I don't have to literally know how to do all these. So spline vector keyframe, and I might do a sline, well, sline doesn't work, but spine vector, well, here I am going to mess them all up. But anyway, you get the point. There's fuzzy. Let's just stick to the one we know works. Stack panel. We can also type all lowercase. Ooh, that one actually worked, right? No. Stack panel, that shows up. We can also do this. We can get stuff in the middle, so substring matching. So if I type acp, that takes me directly to stack panel, right? So at that point, you know, it doesn't, you could find that this sometimes winds up being helpful. You know, if I want to, I tried KP, it takes me to the first one, which is doc panel. I tried CKP, which still takes me to doc panel. So, you know, it's not 100% necessarily
it's an improvement,
what you always want, but it's a great nice improvement. Feature. And once you get used to what works and what doesn't work, then you can just do AACP. You can kind of create your own shortcut. So ACKP is the shortcut for stack panel, right? Or, of course, you could write a snippet. That's ACKP as well.
There you go.
Okay. So what we also have is the refactoring of the start and end tag. So I'm going to add a doc panel here. And then I decide, you know what, I really want this to be a stack panel. So I just go to stack panel, and it changes automatically.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I mean, I love that. Having it for all XAML is just going to be a great improvement.
Yep, so we showed you last time this is an 8.1 for Windows Store apps. And now it is in XAML all over the place. Very, very cool stuff. Yep. Okay, next up, Office 365. So there's been great movement, great interest, and some great work done on the team for making it easier to use Visual Studio to build line of business apps that are hosted on Office 365. So let me show you just a quick peek at a new project type. If we go into Office and SharePoint and we click on apps, here's the Cloud Business App, which basically takes a lot of the plumbing that you had to do by hand and wraps it up into a template. So when you create one of these, you saw a demo of this at Build. This is now our first iteration of this in the release candidate. So when I create a Cloud Business App, I'm asked for, where's it going to live? You know, I put in my Office 365 site. And then it wires this up to automatically be hosted on either IIS or Office 365. Yeah. So at that point, I could just go and build the application. I don't have to worry about all the plumbing, about hooking it up. And it's automatically set to publish up to Office 365.
Yeah, and this is something that they demoed at the Build keynote. And finally, folks can get their hands on it and take a look at it. Yeah. It's not 100% feature complete, but it certainly is getting there. When our team rolls out, this will be ready to go for folks, just like we promised.
But it's very, very easy to use. Let's look at, let's talk about TypeScript for a second. Let's create a web application. So I create a web application, and I don't know, let's make it an MVC. It doesn't really matter. And I want to put TypeScript into it. So in Visual Studio 2012, I could do that. I could go download the TypeScript tools, and then I could write the TypeScript, and then I kind of had to manually convert between the TypeScript and the JavaScript. Watch how easy it is. And because I am not that well versed on TypeScript, I'm going to cheat a little bit and go out to the TypeScript site. And if I click on Learn, well, here's what you had to do for 2012, right? You had to install TypeScript, et cetera. Yep. But watch, in 2013, let's get rid of this. I go to Scripts. I add a TypeScript file built into the product. No need to download external tools built in, and the latest version of TypeScript, an updated version of TypeScript.
Yeah, this is the latest bit. So if you're developing in TypeScript, when you get a release candidate, you don't have to go download something separate to get the latest version. This is included for you.
So now my project's going to be configured to support TypeScript. And then we go and call the NuGet package manager and display a wide variety of packages that you might find very useful for TypeScript, jQuery, Knockout, Bootstrap, etc. So you might want to add these to your project, Angular. I'm going to say, no, I don't need any of these, because I'm going to do very simple. Oh, and I get some boilerplate in here. OK, that's cool. The build I was using didn't have the boilerplate. So
it's good to be on the right version.
OK,
this
so great.
This is the release candidate.
So this actually means I don't have to do any typing. So let's go find this application, which should be in Documents, Visual Studio 2013, Projects, what is this, Web Application 2. And if we go into Scripts, there it is. OK, so now if we turn on the extensions, where are they? OK, once I build, here's the JavaScript. So we're writing in TypeScript, which gets converted to JavaScript. So you might ask, where's the JavaScript? In 2012, you had to go run this command line utility, but we do it automatically for you. Here's the JavaScript. Let's open it up with Notepad just to make it easier. So there's the JavaScript that is equivalent to the TypeScript. And here's the file that maps the two.
Yeah, TypeScript is great. If folks don't know what TypeScript is, if this demo kind of started at the wrong point for them, it lets you create JavaScript as an output. But TypeScript, the language, this open source language that Visual Studio tooling enables, lets you write something that's a lot more sort of the way programmers expect to work today. There's type checking, there's all sorts of capabilities there, but the output is pure JavaScript. And that's so powerful, right? You put a layer on top of it, it makes your development easier. But you still support every browser the way you would.
So, you know, JavaScript. If you're a C# developer moving over to JavaScript, TypeScript will look a lot more familiar to you. And then underneath the covers, we just create the same JavaScript that your browser will understand.
Yeah. No more having to put an alert box somewhere in your JavaScript code to figure out that the type wasn't right.
Exactly.
And that's why something's failing. Yeah, yep. I've done that.
And you get some nice help. So actually, let's explore this a little bit more. We can create an interface. Oops, control this, go in here.
If you've never heard of TypeScript before.
And you get IntelliSense, so person dot first name, last name. You can also, there's a cool example here of using classes. So now we're going to create a class called student, and then again, person dot. So this looks a lot more familiar to the type of code that we've been writing all along, interfaces, classes. And then, when we build this, open up the JavaScript, that's what this would look like in JavaScript.
Yeah,
so
if you already know JavaScript,
if you're already a JavaScript whiz, you know, you can continue to do JavaScript. But if you're kind of new to JavaScript, this is a great way to make JavaScript look more like what you're used to. And then the result is just pure JS.
Yeah, we have a lot of early adopters, and it's great feedback. People really love this tool. Makes JavaScript a lot less painful for those of us like myself who don't naturally code in it.
And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is the Azure SDK. The current version of the Azure SDK is 2.1. That works with the Visual Studio 2013 preview. And of course, it also works with the release candidate. So if you're wondering which version of the SDK do I use with the release candidate, continue to use 2.1. And I'm sure they're working on new stuff. We'll see what they come up with, because those guys are always cranking out cool stuff.
Azure's moving fast, but 2.1 is good enough for you.
Yeah. So that's what I'd say.
Great.
All right,
so my turn.
Your turn.
Let's do some more demos. It's all about demos.
I love this show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
I did a couple quick demos, and you take over.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you like about it. I was going to say I like the fact that we do a lot of great demos together.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying.
Okay. It goes without saying. So let me talk a little bit about this, the interface itself of Visual Studio. What folks will notice is there's been a bunch of small refinements, some smaller, some a little bit bigger, but nothing too crazy. As you start to use the RC, you will notice a certain improvements. I'll give you one example. Just right off the bat, if you look at Team Explorer, it does look a little bit different than what it looked like in preview. Some of the icons are a little bit different, but more or less pretty much heading in the same path of making just a very clean interface, taking a lot of feedback from the community into account, even from preview as well. So that's pretty cool. Also, let's take a look at web applications. So I'm going to close down some stuff we have open here, and let's make sure we find the right one. So here's just a basic web application, and I want to talk about Browser Link. This is something that we released in preview. Browser Link, for folks that don't know, allows you to be in Visual Studio. You're in Visual Studio, you're writing HTML or CSS, and you have one or more browsers open. And the beauty of this is, without refreshing those pages, you can make changes in HTML or CSS, and it reflects in one or more browsers. Now, when you use this, let's start up an application. So we have this web project. I'm going to hit Start. Internet Explorer is connected to it. In preview, the only way that you could know what was connected, like how many browsers are connected, am I, you know, is everything working the way I expected
to? Show the feature first, just to refresh people's minds.
Sure.
Can you do that?
Sure, we can do that too. Let's jump back a little bit here. Oops. Start this project. Isn't this ironic that I was saying how I hope this doesn't fail me?
Ah, okay, there we go. Woo!
There you go.
Now we're connected.
So now we're connected, and the first thing that I want to point out is in preview, this is the way it worked, right? We'd start the project, if everything was working as expected, we would go to this icon, which would show that we had one browser connected, and would show that Internet Explorer was connected.
And
then I can, you know, hold your horses here, we're getting there. So then we can open a view.
I did the drum roll and everything.
Yeah, you did the drum roll. I got to give you some credit.
Happen.
So I'm going to minimize this. So here we have some HTML that we're working on, and Robert gets his actual demo of the feature. So we put some more text in, and there's a shortcut, key shortcut for it, but I forget it sometimes. Let's see, a Control Alt Enter. Mm-hmm. So you hit it here, and the page will refresh.
There we go. Very
cool.
Now,
the cool thing is as you type, right, as you make changes, and when you do remember the shortcut, you never lose focus in the code editor window. That's the cool thing. And the other cool thing is you can have more than one browser connected to it. So let's take the same URL, the URL where we're debugging again, so debugging is still on. Open up Chrome, start Chrome up to the same page. And if all goes well, we should now see two browsers connected, which we do. I'll even zoom into it. Here it is. So now this is exactly like it was a preview. The new capability in RC is this new panel. So now you can say, I want to see the Browser Link panel. Click on the panel. And the new panel will show you the same information. But now the panel could be somewhere docked in your application. It will also show you a new capability called Problems. So there's a place that you can expand right here. We'll do that right now. And this will actually show you problems that we're detecting and problems that you might want to take actions on. There'll be a blog post. They'll go much deeper into this. They'll talk about, you know, how all this works. But this is great because, again, knowing, you know, the browsers are connected just like you saw when our demo failed in the beginning, kind of critical. Otherwise, you're like, what the heck is going on here? Now we know.
Very good.
Also, this is now extendable. So if you want to write plugins that plug into Browser Link capability and provide data to Browser Link, provide data between Visual Studio and maybe some other browser extension or whatever, there's a whole API that we're making available.
Cool.
And that's, once again, on the blog. It'll be well documented. Mm-hmm. So that's Browser Link enhancements. And, you know, everybody who's a web developer gets really excited when this thing actually works because it's awesome. When you're changing CSS, in fact, you don't even have to save. It'll be in real time. Not doing it justice, but it's the first demo. All right, so next, I want to show you an enhancement we made to peak definition. So I'm going to go to the same application that Robert was using. We're going to jump to the employee tracker here. So peak definition, just to talk while it loads, peak definition is a new capability we added in preview. It allows you to be in a source file like a C# or VB.NET or whatever, and you were able to look at some code that you're referencing without leaving your code file.
Yes.
I'll show you exactly what that looks like. Let's go into our employee view here. So here's one example. I am in basic employee view model. And I'm referencing an object called employee, mm-hmm. a class that's somewhere in my project. And I want to see what are all the properties of employee, right?
Well, you can just F12 and go to definition.
Yeah, so what right? you used to do is right-click or F12 and go
and
to definition.
You go into an entirely different file, and then...
You lost your context.
You lost your context.
If you actually need to spell this correctly, and it's maybe 100 letters long or something, I've seen some crazy things in my day, 15 years of software development, we'll do that to you. You sometimes need to keep your context here while
yes.
getting information from there. So what peak definition lets you do is this new feature right here is Alt F12 instead of F12. When you do that, it opens up an inline window. And in preview, this inline window lets you do exactly what I'm doing now, explore the file.
Right.
You can go up and down. In fact, you can, in a nested way, you can go further down. So let's say you're like, actually contact details is what I need. So you can peak definition again. Mm-hmm. And it adds, I'll zoom in for folks, it adds like a little
type thing there.
Yeah, so you can go back and forth. So
yep.
it's pretty cool. You can also make this into a full window, full code file. That's a standard icon we have to kind of pin it mm-hmm. to the regular code windows. But here's what's new in Release Candidate. You can actually make changes here. So this is no longer a read-only view. You can start doing this.
That is cool.
I want to make a change.
That
cool,
is
huh?
Cool.
And the demo didn't fail. High five. There you go. I'll take one if I can get it. So that's peak definition, another small change. And you'll see there's little other optimizations around the code editor window. Again, we'll have mm-hmm. blog posts that talk all about it. Let's talk about Code Lens. This is another capability. We released the preview. And just like peak definition, we're making it even better. So with Code Lens, let's tell people what Code Lens is in case you didn't hear about it. Code Lens, when you connect to Team Foundation Server 2013, mm-hmm. RC, or in before to preview, you will get certain
or
indicators.
Server?
Server at the moment.
Server,
yeah.
Okay.
So when you connect to server, that's a good point. So when you do connect to server, you're going to get a bunch of indicators. And when you're not connected, you'll get other indicators that help you be kind of a more informed developer in code. Let's actually take a look what that looks like. Code Lens is a little header above the file,
yes.
so about in your file, above your code. So here I have a function, my constructor in this case. I can see that it has 5 references.
So
I
the references shows up whether or not you're connected to
whether
TFS.
Or not, yeah, up to here, right? So these first two,
right.
the unit tests, if you have unit tests, you can see their unit tests, you can see their references. It does not require you to be connected to any server
right.
because it knows that, because Visual Studio knows that offline.
Great, great way of telling whether or not a method is called, because that tells you right there, 0 references. She tells you right there that this method isn't being used.
I used it in an app I was working on just the other day, and it was kind of a realization. You know, I'm the product marketing manager for Visual Studio, but sometimes I learn things just by just by doing it. And I'm like, that's a good way of thinking about it. I just found a piece of code which I thought was running. I had
right.
a breakpoint in it. I was about to hit F5, and I'm like, I'm never going to get here, am I?
Exactly.
So I learned something new. Unit tests, that's great because you can also execute things from here. So let's go through these indicators. You click on references, you can see what's referencing
mm-hmm.
it. You can see a little code snippet when you highlight with the mouse over the line. You get a preview on the right, you can see even more. Now you can click on here and it will jump to exactly where the code is. So you can really get from, I was looking at some code, I was trying to understand what references
mm-hmm.
it, and now I can go to what references it and
right.
actually look or impact change.
Why is this being called from that method?
Yeah, exactly. Common questions.
Yep.
For unit tests, you can click on here and see unit tests. You can actually run all the unit tests
cool.
right from here.
Yep.
How many times have you made a change and now you want to run the unit test and you're like, where's my test explorer panel?
Right.
no more having to do that. Another capability that they added with specifically RC is these pop-up windows for the indicators have a button up here called Doc Pop-up. When you do that, it makes it into a panel,
nice.
Which is really nice. Again, yeah, it's how many times do you have something that pops up, it's useful, it's
right.
still useful, but you need to click somewhere.
You can do that with code with peak definition as well?
In a sense, right? So when you have peak definition, let's go take a look at that, peak definition right here, you can click on it to make the file full screen. So it, in a sense, the same idea. The context was useful,
okay.
and now it's pinned,
okay.
but file, like classes already have a way of being
okay.
visualized, right?
Yeah.
While the indicators never had a way of being visualized.
True.
They were
right.
a new idea. Now, if you do have TFS server, RC, paired with RC of Visual Studio, you now get even more indicators. So with preview, you had indicators such as, who was the last person to modify this particular method within
mm-hmm.
the file? That's very powerful. Let's think about that for a second. It's not just like, who changed this file last? That's not always
right.
very useful. Who changed the method? right? That's the person who changed the method.
Yep.
You want to know who changed the class last? Who was the last person to touch? That's up here. Mm-hmm. So it's at the class level, it's at the method level, in this case, the constructor. But you also sometimes need to know, well, how many changes happened? What were the changes? So you have change set information here, and you can actually see related work items.
Cool.
If my memory isn't messing with me, that's actually a new thing for RC, mm-hmm. the work items. Now, let's take a look at changes. So here we have changes. I'm going to expand it out. And mm-hmm. this is yet another new capability. I'm going to zoom in
what?
So
who,
folks can
who?
See.
Robert, who checked that in without adding a comment?
Robert, ID number 9 means we're going to have a meeting about this. You have not learned how to properly check in
stuff.
That
was an accident.
I gave Robert trouble over that before we started recording. I was like, you didn't make a comment. But let's take a look what's new here.
See,
first
busted.
Of all, yeah, you're busted. First, you can see we've added a label that actually shows you which of these change sets you're actually looking at, what's your local version, because sometimes that might not be the one you've pulled down to work with. Also, we've added link integration right in here. So if you're looking at the code and you're really angry at Robert for not making a comment and you want to IM him, you can do that. So in fact, I'm going to do that.
Go for it.
You're obviously not there
go
right now.
Go for it.
But
see
I'm gonna
how
do
far
it.
That on. Gets you right now.
Yeah, there you go. So we got the link integration. Yep, sorry, it's a VM, it's a little slow, and I click like a maniac. And I can say that I want to start an AM. Hey, right, so there you go. It's fully link integrated,
cool.
And you're kind of offline. So
I'm not answering you.
You're not answering me, yet. So as long as you have link, I believe 2010 or 2013 uh-huh. running on your machine, the same machine Visual Studio is running on, it will appear. If not, you just won't see that integration there.
Okay.
Work items is cool. I can see that there was
a work item.
Do you know
if I have integration with additional things like Skype and other things in the
not
future?
At the moment.
In
but
the
hey, just the future is an exciting place, isn't it? We'll see what happens. I can only talk to you about what's there today. So that's kind of a couple of features there that we wanted to show. All right, so next I want to jump into a different side of things. Let's talk about ALM. We've introduced a new capability, a part of Team Foundation Server. This is actually going live today, the day of RC, for Team Foundation Service as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to switch to the web interface. And I have a shortcut right here for us. So this is TFS 2013 preview. I'm sorry, RC. And I've installed it locally here just to be able to demonstrate this concept of the new feature. And I'm going to go ahead and go to work. And I'm going to show you what you probably have seen before, which is, hey, this is my web interface to manage my work, or
right.
look at my code, or execute a build, or you know, manage tests. This is a great way to do all of that without having to have Visual Studio installed. Now, as part of the RC release and the service release, we're adding new capabilities under the Queries tab called Charts. This is a web-based chart
mm-hmm.
That when I click on the chart for my query, so right now I'm looking at a particular query, right? So this is things that were assigned to me. That's what I call the query. I can click on the charts button and see charts that I've created mm-hmm. that visualize this query. So it's query specific, and you have to come here. Right now this is the only place you can see the charts, but you can see already the value. You can really visualize differently the data in the query instead of just seeing the flat list. You don't need to install the software. You can paste this into a Word document, send it to your manager, your email. This has a lot of usefulness. We'll see this feature grow over time.
Very
it's cool.
cool
that it's very flexible in the sense that you can click New, select the type of chart that you want, select how you want to group items by a certain state or area path. It right away starts to visualize it mm-hmm. for you, so you know if you're right or wrong. You can name the chart, and then once you pin them, they're here. You can edit them, delete them. This is the new capability. You know, we'd love
cool.
to hear people's feedback. This is a brand new feature of our service and server. Also, we've added something into server that we've released to service, but we didn't get into preview. So one of the new features that we added into backlog management is this notion of features. So features, think of it as one higher level of abstraction. So you have one or more teams working on a bunch of PBIs, backlog items, right, their
mm-hmm.
work. And you want to organize it by concepts, right? Maybe you have two teams, one is a web team, one's a mobile team. They're all working to add search across all the capabilities of web and phone interfaces. So you would go to features, and you would create those ideas. For us, I created some features which were kind of simple, you know, promote RC, promote ASP.NET. I just, you know, made some stuff up kind of there.
Has this started yet? Tech Ed conference planning? Has this started already?
I grinned when I added that, but I'm sure there is another Tech Ed coming. I haven't looked.
Well, there is. It's May in Houston.
Yeah, I remember Houston. I didn't remember even the date. But yeah, so these are like the kind of organizational goals, let's call them. And now when I go to my backlog view, I can actually say, well, I want to see these items in the context of, I now have work items that are actually assigned to people and there's actual tasks and it's all mapped correctly.
Cool.
But the question was, how do you map work, these blue ones over here, the PBIs, how do you map them to features? Service had a release right after build, which added a capability that made it very easy. You used to have to open up the PBI, go to link, and add the link via ID. It was kind of, you know, not the best experience there. Now, when you're in backlog view, when you're just looking at the work you've created, let's do a new one, test feature mapping, right? So now you have this item, and you've got to map it to a higher level concept. There's now a button, top right. The button is called mapping. If you click it to on, it's going to add a new panel. We're going to turn that on. Now the new panel is enabled, you can see the features. Yep, there you go.
Oh my God.
Drag and drop, and you can say this is related to the conference.
Awesome.
And now if we go back to visualize, right, we expand it out, you can see things should be good.
I'm going to applaud that.
If I press too many buttons, of course you won't. But there you go. So that makes it really nice. Again, services had it. So that to me is a great point, right? Mm-hmm. We have TFS in a service now. And TFS in the service gets updates all the time. So you're going to see features shipped there that haven't even made it to our on-premises product. But we're committed to this dual path where when we do have a major release of the server or when we have an update, which are now feature-rich updates most of the time, you will see these capabilities get rolled in. So whether you're in the cloud with us or whether you're on-premise with us, mm-hmm. you're going to get these capabilities. On the service, is just much faster. In fact, the way that I look at it, I was talking to a friend of mine. He works at a financial company in New York, and they use the on-premises server, but he's been using service just to kind of keep up with the features.
Right.
It's kind of cool. He doesn't use it professionally yet, but he's like, oh, I can play with charts now, you know, that it's out, let's say, right, without having to worry that my company hasn't updated our server thing yet. But that's a good capability.
Cool.
So there you go, some ALM capabilities there. A couple of things that I want to talk about. We've shown a bunch of great features, but there's a lot more in this release. So I want to just call out a few things that are certainly going to be covered in blog posts and other places as well. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of C++ related announcements that people should watch out for. There's all sorts of ASP.NET platform announcements as well. So if you know, like one example, Signal R2 RC1 will ship with the release candidate, right? Okay. Some of these things are open source, so you might be already ahead of the game. But now, once again, we're rolling things right into the product. Obviously, lots of bug fixes, performance. I know they work in CodeLens a lot to make it more performant. Some folks on Twitter just the other day, I was answering them, making sure that you know I got their feedback to make sure we fixed it, make sure the problems that they're experiencing are going away. RC is going to make a lot of problems go away. So mm-hmm. I really, really hope folks will get this release. We have a lot more to talk about, but can only do so much today.
All right. Cool. So that is a quick look at Visual Studio 2013 release candidate. Lots of cool stuff. Download it, play around with it, let us know what you think. Love to hear your feedback, and hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for coming on, Dimitri.
Yeah, no problem, anytime.
And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Bye-bye.